time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, it's me again. It's just you and I again. Muhammad is not in this week, but we here. We're going to chop it up. We're going to protect the streak. Ooh, wait, look at the bars that didn't even mean to be bars. Damn it. Anyway, y'all, hope y'all good. Y'all good? Word? Okay. Get the fuck out of here, for real. That shit crazy. We'll talk about that after this. All right. Yeah, all right, after this. All right, for sure. Anyway, yo, but I'm chilling too. Good looking. I appreciate you asking. another week in the books. I'm sitting here. I'm sipping on one of the most precious cups of tea I've had in a while. I say it's precious. Well, first of all, I don't even think it's that good. But, you know, I'll tell you why I say it's precious. I look at the back of the tea and it says, bring spring or freshly drawn filtered water to 185 Fahrenheit. Steep 3 minutes and meditate on how some things seem made for each other. That's a fuck. All right. I'm just trying to wet my whistle. You know what I mean? I'm about to fucking record a podcast. I want to make sure that everything is nice, you know? But yeah, this is Stephen Smith tea maker Jasmine Silver Tip. Now, when I was pocketing a few of these out the airport lounge, I was really excited about it. The Jasmine Silver Tip just sound fly. Jasmine Silver Tip. That should sound like, you know what I mean? Sound kind of fly. Sound like she a baddie. You know what I mean? It's just, ooh-wee. Shorty met at the opium den. You know? She was sipping on something nice. It's a full leaf green tea. It smelled kind of funny. It's not the best. It's not the best tasted thing. It's got some jasmine to it. It's not even jasmine a woman. It's jasmine the flower, you know, obviously. But hold on. I don't want to do a whole lot of sipping all loud. And we hit y'all with all that old unnecessary ASMR. But, you know what I mean? Slurping on the mic. Hey, yo, pardon me. We might have to bleep that up. I'm so sorry. But I just, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, I was watching a video. A nigga was slurping a cheesesteak. He was eating a cheesesteak, and every bite, he was like, almost like, nigga, why you got all of that fucking water in your mouth on cheesesteak? All right, this has gotten off the rails. I'm chilling, y'all. I'm kicking it. It's been a good week since last time we spoke. Been pretty much outside a little bit, you know, running around. Am I outside? I guess I'm outside. I'm running around. I had some good little moments in the city, you know, a little bit of art, a little bit of culture, good conversation, had some nice little lunches, dinners with good friends of mine, good people, you know what I mean? Getting some interesting perspectives and commentary on the world and spirited conversation. So that's always been good. I went past last week, but I actually went to the Studio Museum of Harlem this week to, you know, check it out. It just reopened a brand new building. The building is crazy itself just from the outside. Like, the architecture is bananas. I don't know how much they got, how much they spent on that. It had to be something expensive. Like, it don't look cheap. It looks fly. It looks like you get ready for some art. And on top of that, some black art. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we need. We need some black contemporary art in the world, in the city, that's like, you know, put on a pedestal, put in the context to where it should be appreciated and, yeah, like really appreciated and looked at as like, this is, This is amazing shit that's going on right now. These are living artists that are contributing in really fly shit. You know, whether it's sculpture, whether it's photography, you know, painting, all types of things. It's really good. Quite a few floors. The inside is fly too. Hella bathrooms. I ain't never seen this many bathrooms in a museum. And you know what I mean? Like, I've been to quite a few museums and used bathrooms in many museums. They got, like, multiple bathrooms. It's like a bathroom museum on the low, the restroom. You know, the restroom, the contemporary restroom residency in Harlem on 125th Street. Nah, but it's good. It's fly. I like it a lot. Again, I like that it's, like I said, contemporary artists. You know, we got, I mean, you got the, you know, you got, I don't even want to be ignorant and speak to some shit that I don't know. I was about to say, you got plenty of other art museums that feature black people. Da-da-da-da-da. Of course you do. But Centered, I'm not sure. And then beyond thinking about like the Smithsonian, which is dealing with history, traumatic and then some, you know, this was like a good relief that you just see and stuff that just make you feel good. So, you know, that shit was cool. Got to do that. They had a olive oil cake. I feel like I might have had olive oil cake in there. Olive oil cake looks a lot like pound cake. And when you hear that it's olive oil cake, it could take you back. Like, olive oil, I don't know about that. The shit looked just like some good pound cake. They had this like a really nice olive oil cake down at the little cafe downstairs, and I was like, yo, that shit look good. Is that pound cake? It was like, it's olive oil cake. And I was like, and the funny thing was, it was nice. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It looked like art. It belonged to the museum. But it was that one slice that was cut from the rest of the cake, and that slice was just sitting on the little cake spatula. And I think that's because it's olive oil cake. I truly believe if it just starts saying, yeah, there's pound cake, that shit'll be flying. But olive oil cake is like, I don't know who want that shit. You know what I mean? You might have had to have some olive oil cake experience. Some of y'all probably listening be like, oh, you uncultured motherfucker. I've been having olive oil. We're having olive oil cake Thursday with the family. Whatever. I don't think I have. I might have had one. Again, I might have had it somewhere. And it might have been, you know, not unbeknownst, but it was just under the radar, you know. But anyway, it looked good. Say all that shit to say it looked good. It's funny. I'm talking about the olive oil cake more than any artist in that motherfucker. I mean, it was all the greats. Everybody in there. Romare Bearden's in there. You know, McLean Thomas is in there. Fucking look at me. Is that it? Is that all I can say? I know it's a couple more that I can't think of right this second. I will tell you this. There is a life-size figurine of Melvin Van Peebles that comes out of nowhere in this motherfucking museum. And that shit scared the shit out of me. I was, oh, shit, what the, oh, shit, Melvin, what the, nigga, don't run up on this. Come on now, Melvin, you wildin'. I said, damn, this Melvin, you know what I mean? Looking lifelike than a motherfucker. Definitely the people that do the Tussauds should holler at whoever, you know, Thelma Golden commissioned for that Melvin piece. I got all of that information somewhere, but it's on my camera roll, which has been uploaded to my external, so it's away from me now. But let me throw a couple more names. Just for my own shit. We already said McAleen. We done said Romare. Shit. Who else did I see over there? Black artists. I don't know if I seen. I seen Kehinde Wiley. Kehinde was in there. Let me stop, man. Look. Go there. Y'all check it out, man. You know what I mean? And listen, you can pay what you want. Or you could just pay the full freight, whatever they ask it for. You know what I mean? It's art. So go enjoy it. See what it is. This is the time, you know. Like I said, we getting into the holidays where things are going to get a little slow. So get yourself a little culture, you know. What else did I do? So I said I was, you know, I went to, had some friends of mine that were in town. So I wound up going to the Hotel Victoria, which was damn near across the street from the Studio Museum, to go get drinks. Must have been, was it a Friday night? It might have been a Friday. I think it was Friday night. And I'd been hearing a lot about this spot, like from various people. You know what I mean? My barber was telling me it'd be popping. One of my homies was telling me, like, you know, like the history of it as far as like black performers go and things of that nature. So I was like, yeah, I want to check it out. I've been hearing about it. So I went through there and the shit was a scene. Shit was a scene. They had like a live band that was rocking. They had a live band, probably like a four piece or something like that. I don't know. It wasn't like crazy, but they were rocking. So it's basically when you walk in there, the Victoria Hotel is like a renovated hotel. It's like right next door, damn near to the Apollo, you know, in the heart of Harlem, right? And, you know, they definitely, Langston Hughes portrait in the elevator, Josephine Baker portrait in the other elevator. You take the elevator up to the fifth floor because that's where, it's also connected to the Renaissance Hotel too. So you go up to the fifth floor, and I think that's like the, there's the lobby of the hotel, but then there's the bar scene that goes into like the restaurant, and the whole shit was flooded with just us having it on a Friday night. That shit felt like the fucking Sugar Shack. You know what I mean? Ernie Barnes. I don't think he was in the studio, but again, another black artist, again, reaching. But anyway, it was off the chain. Like the feeling was electric, which was cool because I was coming from a spot over at I just did a show and the crowd was work. So I was happy to have a change in energy. This crowd was good. I had good time towards the end, but I really had to like fucking dig in. You know what I mean? Like really like, yo, it's you versus me. You know, that type of comedy, confrontational. But yeah, that shit was cool. I had a little bit, tasted a few things, like the fries was good, the wings were good, you know. I didn't drink. I just, for whatever reason, I was like, let me not drink. And I didn't drink, so I couldn't even. They had a nice little drink menu, but I didn't, you know. I got there kind of late to the party, you know what I mean? Everybody was you know, they didn't have their drinks, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't any drink momentum going on the way I had to participate. So I just chilled out, you know, talked shit, got to see some people I ain't seen in a while, and it was a good time. It was a good time. Continuing on with that, I went to Cafe Luxembourg with a good friend of mine. Got to be in a real, you know, old school New York haunt, a Keith McNally restaurant. You know, I just got done reading the Keith McNally book. If you don't know about Keith McNally, he's the, I think the Times calls him the restaurateur that created downtown, right? So it's like all them old school restaurants from New York, like Odeon, fucking Pastis, Balthazar, you know, Cafe Luxembourg, and a host of others. Like, he's shit. The motherfucker created, him and his wife, they created Nell's, you know, like old school, like legendary New York spots. So it was interesting when I was reading the book, like, you know, he's telling you about, like, I didn't realize how much he had done. I think I just kind of heard him. I just read about him in an interview. I heard about him talking about, you know, the book, but not in super depth. I knew that he, you know, he was someone of note that contributed a lot. But as I'm reading this shit, I'm like, damn. Like, he was like, and it was just, it felt so matter of fact, you know, like, it was just like, yeah. And then we just said, you know, we had a friend of ours, I don't think her name was Nell. I'm not sure. We had a friend of ours who just, she liked to party but didn't really want to be at the club. So we just made like a little small cabaret bar. We called it Nell's. And Nell's is legendary for a lot of different reasons. Well before my time, to be totally honest with you. I caught the late end of Nell's and that shit, you know. It was what it wasn't. You know what I mean? It was a shadow of itself at that point. Anyway. Speaking of this tea, right? Did y'all know? How many of y'all know? And I did you know after you steep in this tea bag, you're supposed to take the bag out the tea? Because allegedly, if you keep the bag in the tea, it makes the tea bitter. Did you know this? I didn't know that. Actually, I felt like the tea bag being in the tea adds to the look of the tea. It makes it feel a little bit more, I don't say noble, but it's like a bookmark in a book. It's like, he's sipping tea. He's doing his thing. He's drinking a good mug of tea. It is the time for that. Yeah, I just had some more of the tea. I didn't want to hit y'all with the ASMR. What's going on, dude? Do that. Fucking going on. Let me look at these notes. Thanksgiving is coming up. Y'all ready? You excited? You excited for Thanksgiving? Seeing your family? Maybe, maybe not. You know, going somewhere, doing the Friendsgiving if you got friends and shit. You know what I mean? Y'all having a good time? Like, it's right around the corner. Shit, it's tomorrow, as a matter of fact. You know, are you looking forward to a certain dish? Are you bringing a dish? Are you somebody that it could be trusted with a Thanksgiving dish? Like, do you get busy? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we got in this audience, we got some unks and aunties who have like made it to, you know, presiding over the stove. You know what I mean? They think y'all just not off to the side. You've well graduated past the small table, if there ever was a small table, or even the idea of a small table where people are looking to you to contribute in some way, whether it's a bottle or whether you making brisket. You know what I'm saying? You getting to it. You making a good sweet potato, not just a sweet potato pie. The shit that I be seeing now be so over the top. Sweet potato pie mixed with a peach cobbler crust and a cream cheese fucking petunia flair. I don't know. I'm just talking shit, but you know what I'm talking about. It just gets a little OD after a while. Thanksgiving is here, though. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. I always feel like I'm hungry. I'm like the hungriest on Thanksgiving. I guess it's the anticipation to eat. It's the eater's holiday. You know, I don't even think about the history of Thanksgiving. I don't knowledge all of that. I'm just thinking about it's the Super Bowl of food. We're going to eat good. We're going to get a little gluttony in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, shit. We might watch a good movie or something. This is what I do with the family. We eat good. We watch movies, talk shit, laugh. It's basically the same thing we always do, but just this more food on the table. You know, to this day, I don't think I've ever had, I know, to this day, I have not had fried turkey. And I got a homie that lives not too far from my sister's house where I be at. And he always like, yo, come through, man. And come get a plate, man. I got the fried turkey. I just never do it. I don't know. It might be my pride. I don't know. I want to go over there and get a plate. I got plates in my spot. I don't know. It's been the invite's been there for years to go try this fried turkey. The motherfucker be talking about the fried turkey like it's fire, and I be wanting to try it, but I just like, ah, I'm cool. One day. Y'all fried turkey, let me know if y'all good at it. You know what I mean? Let me know if you into the fried turkey. What else? It's going on. Thanksgiving. We talked about that shit. Let Speaking of food, I kind of want to go to, New Orleans. It's been a minute since I've been to New Orleans. I've been having like the, just the desire to run through New Orleans and just eat at a bunch of places, you know, just to be in that mix. I like, that's one of my favorite food cities. It's a cool vibe too, as far as just like the nightlife, you know. It feels like it's a black ass city too. I like that. I appreciate that. So yeah, I'm kind of looking for that. The food is so good. I remember when I was flying out of there, I was in the Delta Lounge and they had chicken gumbo. This is in an airport lounge. Airport lounge food is fine. It's better than what's going on outside in the terminal more often than not. But it ain't, it's not like mama cooking. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really, you ain't expect nobody to put their foot in it. It's decent. It's good, actually. But I tell you, this fucking gumbo was slamming. This gumbo was, I might have talked about this gumbo on the mic. I'm pretty sure. This gumbo was, I'd had this gumbo at least a couple years ago, and I still think about it to this day. It was so slamming that we in the lounge, I don't know these other people in the lounge. We're all just travelers in the midst. And we giving each other the look, like, yo, fucking gumbo is crazy. Like, giving the look and the point with the spoon, like, this gumbo is crazy. In my pocket, this, we ain't even saying all that. It's just spoon talk. You know what I mean? Hell yeah, this gumbo is fire. You know, the double take, definitely a double ladle. A double ladle for sure. For sure. Which is tricky. You know what I mean? Because if the gumbo get you the bubble guts and that you in the air, that could get nasty. You know, but it was worth the risk. And fortunately, there was no turbulence in the air or in my stomach. But yeah, shout out to New Orleans. I seen your man, Joel Santana. Is in the world talking about, hey man, reading ain't that important. That shit is ridiculous. I think I understand what he was trying to say, but he shouldn't even been trying to say what I think I understand. Reading is absolutely important. Like, come on now. That shit there, come on. I hope there was some type of intervention after that. You know what I mean? I don't understand that shit, but maybe he's not the best reader. Maybe he, you know, like, and there's a difference between reading and reading comprehension and literacy, which I realized recently, like knowing what you're reading. There's reading to survive, and then there's reading to where you can infer and understand, you know, it's difference, and you should be good at all of that, I would say. But, you know, don't take Joel's word for that shit. I mean, he never really got through the alphabet. He always got stuck at, hey. That was for me. I don't give a fuck. But also, and I didn't even watch the whole shit. I just saw that clip, and then I saw, I came across this clip before I saw all the outrage, but there's a clip where he's on this podcast, and shout out to the podcast that I don't know the name of in this moment, but, you know, shout out to y'all. Then he actually gives a tutorial on how to fold his bandana in the way that he used to wear his bandana back in the day. And I thought that shit was kind of cool. That was a nice little cultural moment. You know what I mean? I thought that was cool. Cause he was deliberate in the fold. It wasn't haphazard. It was absolutely you go up to this, go five dots, you fold it this way and you fold it this way, like real meticulous. And then after you did the shit, it was the Joel Santana shit. It was like, okay, that's what's up. There's actually a method to the madness. You know, he would probably, you know, it was good that it was a visual aid, because if you waiting for this nigga to write you some instructions, that probably ain't gonna happen, because, you know, he ain't for the readers. Nas and Primo announced that they got the album. I want to say it's called Light-Years. Comes out on December 12th. I guess this is going to be the This is going to be the feather in the cap. This is going to be the grand finale of the Mass Appeal run. Nas and Primo, the album cats have been waiting for since Nas and Primo first ever collabed. You know, when it was just like an idea. Yo, what if Nas did a whole album with Premier? That shit would be crazy. And shit, boy, 30 years later, we getting our wish. I actually said, it's coming out on the 12th. I was like, yeah, it should have came out on the 25th just for the fact, you know, like make it a gift for, you know, the people. But people like Christmas coming early, like, you know, so I'm excited to hear that. I don't even want to say I'm managing my expectations, but I'm not even going to say that, man. I'm ready to hear what they got, you know. Nas has been on a run. Premier's been doing his thing. Premier got some joints on that De La album we're going to talk about in a second. But I'm ready for it. Let me know if y'all ready for it. Let me know if y'all excited for it. Let me know what else y'all listening to. You know, I was talking about last week how I was excited for this De La album. The De La album came out, and I'm fucking with it. It took me a couple listens, right? And it made me have this thought, because I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, yeah, man. Actually, I was talking to a couple friends of mine, like two different group chats. And I was like, yo, man. You know, I was kind of talking about at least my first listen, how I felt about my first listen. And they were like, nah, fucking with it, this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, bet. Based on that conversation, I was like, well, I'm gonna definitely give it more listens just off the strength that I fuck with De La. And then I was telling another friend, I was like, yeah, this is how I felt off the first listen, but I like it on the second. He was like, well, why not on the first? And it made me think. I was like, you know what? Honestly, he was like, is it an age thing? And I was like, maybe in the way of, I don't know. I put this long ass thing in the text, but it was just like, you know, nowadays, in the streaming, social media, attention economy era, I think that there's this desire to have a take immediately after you consume art, after you listen to it, whether it's music, movies, TV, you gotta have a take immediately. Ah, shit, trash, whatever, whatever. Oh, it's crazy, this is that, whatever, whatever. And the age thing comes in because I grew up in the era where, like, you would sit with an album for months. For months. That might be the only album you really fuck with for the whole summer. This is your summer soundtrack. Obviously, you're young and you're living your life, so everything becomes a soundtrack to, like, you know, these new movements in life and these new, life, the formative years and things of that nature. But, like, back then, you know, like, we're spoiled now. Like, there's so much music that comes out every Friday that it's ridiculous, you know. And you just, it's almost like that. What's that, the Jay-Z line? You listen to it or you skim through it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you gotta let the shit marinate. Let that shit, hear that shit in different settings. Hear it in the car if you got the car. Hear it on the train. Hear it in your headphones. Hear it while you clean your house. Hear it in the world, outside, maybe certain songs play in the club if you there, or, you know, hear what other people are talking about. Like, just, you know, you might catch something later on. Like, there's albums that came out 20 years ago where I'm still catching shit. Like, oh, fuck, I never caught that. You know, I give you one. What record is that? Is it, I don't know if it's Do It Again. I'm not sure. Nah, it's a Jay-Z record. But he be like, Bullets Breeze By You Like Louisiana, man. And I got a Louisiana, man. And, what record is that? Anyway. I forget, but Bullets Breeze By You like Louisiana, man. And I think it's What We Do. Anyway. It is What We Do. I never caught that just because I wasn't listening. Bullets Breeze By You Like Louisiana, man. By You, Louisiana. But then Drew Brees. You know what I mean? Like, this nigga here. You know, so it's shit like that. This is years and years later. It's at least 20 years ago that shit came out. Oh, damn it, 30 years ago. And it's like, oh, shit. Which is the best part about listening to music in the first place. But, yeah, I say all that to say I've been spinning De La shit quite a bit. Because it's a long album. You know, it's a long album. I don't want to say it goes in different directions, but typical De La shit. De La is good for like a lot of beat changes and, you know, the skits and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe some narration and all types of things of that nature. It even opens up pretty somber, you know, obviously with the absence of Dave. But they got, what's my man's name? Giancarlo Esposito doing like the intro, and it's like, you know, taking attendance or whatever. And they, you know, where's Dave? And it's just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like they really underscoring who this is about, what this is for. There is a void here. You know, we're not shying away from it. You know, we're one brother short, but this is in dedication, and not only in dedication, but in communication with him from the spiritual realm. Like, so there's that. And, yeah, man, but, you know, and there's some joints on there. There's some shit on there. Primo got some bangers on there. It's interesting to hear. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, Premier got so many copycats over the span of his career. He's inspired so many people. Like, there's so many. I think I could say for myself, for, like, particularly producers that were raised on the East Coast, New York, not even saying specifically, but primarily, but New York first and everywhere else. Like, but you know, like East Coast for sure. Premier is so influential that so many producers that I know have had a moment to where when they first come in, it's like Premier is a template, you know? And they do their best Premier impression. You know what I'm saying? It's like that with various legends in art. You know, when you coming in, is whomever inspired you, you may be, and it might not always be conscious, but you kind of, you learnt from this person, so you kind of imitate or, yeah, you know, replicate or whatever. So I say all that to say, there's so many producers that have been doing their best Primo impression that when you hear Primo do Primo, it's almost like a fucking cover band. It's like, nah, this is Primo doing Primo. Like, when he do his little, like that, you know what I mean? I can't even do this shit with, you know, but there's, like, he got his own little, not little, he got his own, fucking, he has his own bag of tricks, you know, that are just special to him, right? And it's just interesting to hear him doing his shit, like, I like on, I think it's Sunny Storms, where he cutting up the New Edition joint. You know, Premier is always going to hit you with, like, he going to always, not always, but more often than not, he going to cut up a chorus, and he going to chop some shit that is either from some obscure shit or something that's relatively known, like whether it's R. Kelly or Unbelievable, you know, and that was very recent in that moment, and the shit just played well. And some New Edition shit. He cutting up the little New Edition shit. I'm like, oh, this shit, vintage Primo shit. He get busy. There's a record on there with Black Thought. That's crazy that Premier did. And Black Thought sounds amazing on that shit. You know, Pete Rock get busy. I mean, it's some shit on here. It's a good album. I say all that. It's a good album. And I'm still sitting with it. You know, like, I'm not just listening down. You know, I noticed when I was working, like, when I first started working in TV, like, when I would talk to the people that were working production, that was a phrase that they would always use, like, when they were going through references or going through the edit or going through, they'd be like, yeah, we're watching it down. We watch it down. We watch that down. We watch that down. It's not, it watch that down seems like just, It just seems right, kind of divorced from a viewing. It's just like we watching to see this shit, but we're watching to get to the end of it, to get what we need from it immediately. You know, like we just, it's just like we're processing it really fast. We're rendering it quick. Like, render might not even be the best word because render takes some time, but like we're getting through that shit. Yeah, I watched it down. But did you, reminds me back in White Boys Can't Jump, when they was like, do you listen to music or do you hear music? Well, I might be saying it vice versa, but you know, do you listen or do you hear Jimmy? You know what I mean? Like, are you, do you hear that shit? Are you letting the shit fucking seep into your soul? Understand it? You know what I mean? Yeah. You letting that shit affect your psyche? You know? You're not just listening for the take. Be like, yep, I heard that. This is how I feel. Immediate. You know? So, you know, even like with the Studio Museum of Harlem, I was telling people, I was, you know, I was just like, I got to go a couple times, you know? I got to go a couple. There's a lot of shit in there to see. A whole lot of shit in there to see. And you know, I was kind of, I don't know, for whatever reason, I was rushing through it. I didn't even have much on the docket until well later on. But for whatever reason, I guess that kind of sometimes be my default. And it wasn't like I had to go to the bathroom because there was enough bathrooms in that bitch, you know. But I was just kind of like speeding through it. I caught myself a little bit, you know. But like, yeah, I was just like, yeah, I got to come back. I got to come back because this deserves a little bit more attention. You know, I don't need to stroke my chin, you know what I mean, do all of that extra, the, you know, the theatrics of it all. But like some of this shit I want to see again. I want to look at it. Oh, yeah, that shit crazy. I might see something different this next time, or I might catch something, you know. Sometimes bullets breeze by you like Louisiana, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them bullets breeze by you. Anyway. What else? What else is going on? I got this. We're going to call this piece Observations. They're not even just this is just shit that I just, that just shit that I was just, that's, jot it down recently. I don't watch the Drew Barrymore show. I see clips here and there on YouTube or on Instagram when it comes up through my algorithm, but I've noticed Drew Barrymore gets third date close on the couch with her guests. Like, they get intimate. I ain't never seen that type of, I don't even call it spatial unawareness. I think it's all the way, you know, designed to bring about some intimacy. But it's like, are we about to kiss? You know what I'm saying? Do I put my hand on your thigh? It's like, you really up on me and on this promo run, on this press run. I'm trying to, you know, throw to the clip. But I mean, yo, what's good, Drew? What you trying to do? Like, it be close. Look at that shit. I mean, she be up on, and it's not just, I thought, because I think the first one I saw maybe a long time ago, she had SZA on there. You know, SZA got a song titled Drew Barrymore. So I was like, oh, she's very appreciative. You know what I'm saying? They want to connect. They both very woo-woo type of women. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they trying to synchronize. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they just pull it up to just to let the appreciation, you know, the devotion and all of that shit be felt. Let that signal really, you know, let it sink. But then I seen her with quite a few other people. Every time she got somebody on the couch, they close to the motherfucker. And it's just I've never really seen talk show hosts get that close to the guests. Y'all go look at that shit and let me know if I'm bugging or not. They be tight. They be in it. Be in it. You know? What else? I went to this ATM on Fordham. And I've been to this ATM on Fordham a few times over many years. And this shit is the most congested ATM foyer that I've ever been to in my life. It is never not busy. The shit is crammed, but what makes it so crazy, it'll be like, for sure, it's like at least 15 people in the foyer, and there's three ATMs, and two of them don't work. So now it's just, the shit is, you know, it's looking like neglect. You know what I'm saying? It's looking crazy. It's looking like, damn, dog, the fuck is going on? Is this shit systematic? You know what I mean? You start feeling the way. I'm double parked in the fucking bus lane. So now it's like, this shit's going to be at least 25 minutes. And I don't understand, when there's always a long line for the ATM, why do people look like that's their first encounter with an ATM machine? Like, they don't understand this shit. Like, what the fuck is going on? You never withdrew money before from an ATM? Like, if not, then you need to, I don't know what's the deal, but, like, maybe we should have different lanes. You know what I mean? Like, because I get in and out of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be looking like, what the fuck got them stumped? What is the dick? What's going on? What? Why do they trying again? And maybe it's not they trying to find a denomination that they would let, you know, because I've been in there too, where you got to do a little bit of math. You got to do a little bit of math. I say, all right, I think I could get away with pulling this shit out. Maybe they'll let me, you know what I mean? But let me try this. I've been there in that part of life too. Maybe that's that. But again, like, these motherfuckers be looking like that shit be, it is challenging. You know what I mean? It's like shot clock, nigga. Come on. What the fuck? It's only one. It's only one in here. And it is funky. Not funky, but it's steamy. Too much condensation in this foyer for it to be November. Anyway. I think there should be a calendar. Because I've been watching, I like the little Thanksgiving for One recipes that I've been seeing online. There's this one Instagram account. I don't know the woman. I'm sorry. But she basically does, like, Thanksgiving Day dishes for one, macaroni and cheese for one, you know, greens for one, but it look good, but it's just for one. You know, because a lot of times, like, I live by myself, and I like a lot of that shit, but I don't want to make a big-ass pan of macaroni and cheese. It's just like, you know what I mean? What I'm going to do with all of that? I'm going to freeze it. I don't want to throw out no macaroni and cheese. It kind of kills the excitement, you know what I'm saying? So, but if I get me a nice little crispy, bubbling looking macaroni and cheese for just me, it's amazing. You know, one or two servings or something like that. So I feel like there should be a calculator. I've seen it on certain recipe pages, but there should be an actual, and maybe there is, I gotta go look, but maybe there is like a domain or even an app where you put in a recipe, and then it's a calculator that helps break the recipe down to like one to two servings. It does all of the math for you. I think that shit would be dope. If that is there, somebody let me know, because that shit is necessary, especially for me. I would like that. But what else? Anything else? Okay, you know what? Because I've been meaning to do this for a while. There's a lot of, you know, we talk about... talking about Drew Barrymore getting all cozy with her guests or whatever. There's a new wave of black women that are doing interview shows on the internet. I've been meaning to shout out for a while. I like Kiki Palmer's show. Kiki Palmer is so fucking talented. Swiss Army knife. But like, I like Kiki Palmer. She's trying to get her Oprah on. And I think she's got a talent for, like, asking really good questions and keeping a conversation going. You know, it's not boring, it's not vapid, it's not like softball shit. Like, sometimes she'll ask some real shit. Not even sometimes, she'll ask you some real shit. So some, you know, some challenging, whatever. These are some women I've noticed that are giving good interviews. So Kiki Palmer's on there. Aria Hughes. I like Aria Hughes, editor-in-chief over at Complex. She has a show on YouTube called Please Explain, and it'll be like at least an hour long sit down with really good guests, like interesting people, but like people that maybe you may not have expected. You know, like some of my favorite ones, she did one with Quinlan Blackwell, who was just on I Love LA this past week. And I've seen her on the internet, like doing silly, goofy shit, you know, and I don't want to say, I guess I just summed it up to just somebody that's just doing content and just kind of, you know, just on some bug out character type shit. But like when they had a real conversation, this is the most I've ever heard this woman speak and like speak about her strategy and how her approach to the shit that she does. And the shit is so like intelligent, not even intelligent, I don't want to say it like that, but it's just so like, yeah, it's deeply strategic. There's a method to all of that shit. And like, even some of the way she look at the fucking landscape is like, oh, wow. I would have never got that from just some of the bug out shit, you know? So it's cool. I think she's somebody that asks good questions. And then old Rachel Omondi, who does the, what's the name of that joint? The Cutting Room Floor podcast, which I don't, you know, that's on Patreon. So I just be fucking with the clips. But I be flirting with, you know, going there and cop that Patreon. But she asks good questions too, and she's not afraid to push back. She's like, I don't like that answer. Flat out. Like, I don't really like that answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean by that? So, yeah, what you said, that, I mean, it sounds good, but what does that mean? And big motherfuckers take two on your ass. Like, oh, well, what I was, okay, fair enough. You know what I'm saying? Fair enough. And shit. And old Z-Way. I was just watching Z-Way, Eric Adams. I was watching Z-Way with Kevin Hart. You know what I mean? Like, she's created a lane for herself, for sure. And them shits are comedy. Them shits is funny as a motherfucker. So, yeah, salute, you know. Shout out to those women, you know. I see ya. That's it, y'all. That's it. We at the finish line. You know what I mean? We about to say goodbye. You know? Shit. I hope y'all have a good Thanksgiving. I hope you eat good, but not too fast, because nobody want to choke on nothing. You know what I mean? You don't want to, you know? And hopefully, you know the Heimlich, just in case. Keep that Heimlich and keep a good fire extinguisher. You know what I mean? Safety. You know? If you are one of them people that need to take the walk, hopefully the weed is strong. Hopefully it's not one of these bullshit-ass spray packs or a bunch of grabba. You know what I'm saying? Because now, nigga, just have a cigarette if you're going to put all of that fucking grabba in your damn, in the joint. You know, this ain't motherfucking Europe. But anyway, yeah, and if you get drunk with your family openly, that's beautiful. That's connection. You know what I'm saying? Let it just stay at connection. Let it just stay at understanding, a free flow of energy. Let's not get it to belligerent. You know what I mean? Nobody need to swing on nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know tensions could run high and liquor could be like fucking, you know, gas to flame. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just drink responsibly and respectfully. Yeah, and enjoy yourself, you know? That's it, y'all. Till next time, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even an enemy to get in the conversation. Hello, 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 hello.